Ah, it's lovely to see some very old friends who I have not seen for an extremely long time, but also to see many of you who I don't know at all previously. It's an awful long time since I was here. Okay, so let's read together from God's Word, shall we? And I want to read from Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul's letter to the Romans and chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 11. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Because we know, that suffering produces perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation." That's God's word to us this morning, and we thank him for it. So we come on this Remembrance Sunday morning. I know this hasn't been a full-scale remembrance service, although we, as so many do, kept the time of silence at the beginning of the service. But there are any number of reasons why what is at the heart of Remembrance Sunday is also what is at the heart of our Christian faith and our Christian message. You see, it's not difficult at all to fit in with Remembrance Sunday this morning. We could talk about peace. We could talk about the healing of wounds. We could talk about remembrance itself, which when we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper later on, would fit in perfectly. But what actually remembering, what we're remembering most of all on a day like this, is those who sacrificed their own lives in conflict that we might be able to live in freedom. That's the sacrifice that we remember at this time of the year. But hang on. Our faith is a faith that has sacrifice right at its very center, isn't it? In fact, our faith would not exist unless Jesus had made the greatest of all sacrifices. But then he called us to follow him by making our life a life of sacrifice and service. So that's what I want us to think about this morning. A day when we remember the sacrifice of so many, we need to remember the ultimate sacrifice. There's no better way of using Remembrance Sunday than to think about the cost and the part that sacrifice played in bringing us to know Jesus, and the part that sacrifice needs to play because of that in our own lives. And I read those verses from Romans to you. This is the part that I want to pick up on. Verse 7. Paul says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. But while we were still sinners, Christ died." Now, you see, what sort of situations are there in which a man might make the greatest of sacrifices and give up his own life? I think there are situations in which we can understand how someone can make that sort of sacrifice. Yeah, maybe when a person knows that they're giving up their lives in order to save the life of many, many other people. Obviously, that can happen in wartime. There are other situations outside that where you can might be able to visualize it happening. Possibly, you can imagine a story of a pilot knows his aircraft's in trouble. He could save himself by ejecting, but he stays at the control. He makes sure that it comes down. Not in a built-up area, crashes in open country instead. We can understand how somebody in that sort of circumstance might choose to sacrifice themselves. Doesn't reduce the sacrifice in the slightest. But we can understand how there are circumstances in which someone might put their life on the line in order to save the lives of many other innocent people. But suppose that it isn't one life that's given up to save many lives. Suppose that it's just one life given up to save one other life. Now, I direct one for one interchange. Does that make it a far greater sacrifice? Now, what sort of situation might somebody make that kind of sacrifice, giving up their life to save the life of one other person? Well, suppose that they thought that their life was much less valuable than that of the person who they were going to save. There's a famous novel that's built around that. I don't know whether any of you have ever read one of Charles Dickens' novels, Tale of Two Cities. It's the novel that's based in the around the French Revolution. And the main character is one who's not lived a terribly good life. And he's prepared to go to the guillotine in the French Revolution in another man's place. And Dickens gives him the line, "It's a far, far better thing that I do now than I've ever done." So situations you can think of in which sacrifices are made. One life for many. A life that seems to be of less value for one that's of greater value. Or perhaps someone who cares so much about a friend that they're ready to give themselves up for them. Okay. So what does that say about the sacrifice that Jesus made? What does that say about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? Think of what I read in Romans. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. For a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, you see, the more we say and the more we try to think about the kinds of situations in which the best of sacrifices are made either by a man or a woman on behalf of someone else, the more you can see that the sacrifice of Jesus is in a different class, a different category altogether. Yeah, we can believe that someone might lay down their life for a friend. You can easily believe how somebody might choose to lay down their life, say, for one of their children. Paul says, I can say that for good man, somebody might be prepared to give up their life. But to give up your life for someone who is totally opposed to everything that you stand for. In fact, to give up your life for someone who is at that particular time your enemy. Oh, yeah. That's virtually impossible to imagine, isn't it? That cuts across everything that we know about how a person might act, what they might do. Well, when it does, until you come to Jesus, until you come to the way that he died for, while we were still sinners, Christ died. The just for the unjust. The one who is perfectly and totally holy, dying for flawed failures like us. Because we break God's laws so repeatedly. We turn away from God so readily when it doesn't suit us to acknowledge him. We're the opposite of everything that Jesus represents. He's the one who's lived the life of total and loving obedience to his Heavenly Father. And we want to keep our independence from God as much as we possibly can. We're the complete opposite, naturally, of everything that Jesus was everything that he represents. And it isn't even when we're thinking, when we're making the first steps towards changing our lives and turning back to God, that he makes his sacrifice for us while we were still sinners. Jesus died. He's making the sacrifice, as Paul says, for those who are still his enemies. Here we are, Remembrance Sunday. We're thinking of the kind of sacrifices that were made. Jesus' sacrifice is of a different order altogether. And it's obviously not the case of somebody who knows that his life is less valuable, sacrificing it for a more valuable life. It couldn't possibly be more the other way around. The most loving, the most perfect life this earth has ever seen lived. However much good we think we might do sometimes, which of us is doing so much good that they deserve to live, but God's own Son should die instead? Whichever way you look at it, his sacrifice is so much greater than any other sacrifice. You might think perhaps maybe there's just one way in which Jesus' sacrifice is like the best of sacrifices that we started by talking about. Because isn't Jesus' sacrifice the kind where one person gives his life so that many, many others could live? You see, even when you try and look at it that way, the answer is yes and no. Because it's yes in the sense that Jesus did die on behalf of the world. His sacrifice is so great that it's able to bring every man and woman, whoever lived, back to God, if only they'd turn back to him. On the other hand, there's something that I think every Christian comes to realize. I've heard it said many times. That if you or I were the only sinner in the whole world, Jesus would still have gone to the cross and died for you or me. That's a discovery that I think every Christian makes at some point. Yes, Jesus died for the world, but it was a one-to-one personal sacrifice for each one of us. Jesus knew me, he knew you, he knew that each of us need to be forgiven. And so he died for each of us. In every possible way, when we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus on this day, when we think of sacrifice, Jesus is the greatest sacrifice of all. Okay. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, you see, the very least we can do for any sacrifice is remember it. That's what we do on this day each year. Equally, what we should be doing each time we come to the Lord's table. But we can do better than just remembering. You see, if there's someone who's given their life as a sacrifice for yours, that demands that we make our life a life of sacrifice. And that is exactly what the Bible says when it turns us towards Jesus' sacrifice. There are a couple of other verses from Paul that I want to put alongside that verse that we've been thinking about. What does Paul say? This is from his letter to the Ephesians. It's chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul says this: "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, you know, we know Jesus certainly didn't give himself to die just as an example for us. He sacrificed himself so that the barrier of sin that was between us and God could be taken away. But, Jesus' example in dying on the cross is the ultimate example of the way in which he calls us to live. It's a life of sacrifice. And in fact, if we're not, in some sense or other, living a life of sacrifice, then you can't really say that your life is Christ-like. That's challenging. We've been loved by Jesus with a love in which he was prepared to give himself totally for us. Paul says, be imitators of him and live a life of love in just the same kind of way. But there's another verse from Paul that I think in a way spells it out even more powerfully. Many of you, I think, will know this verse quite well. Romans 12 and verse 1. "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." Because that, says Paul, is your spiritual act of worship. Now you see, Paul was living in a world where they knew all about sacrifices as part of worship. The heart of what Paul's saying here is that believing in God and following Jesus is going to cost us something. Well, Jesus himself never ever hid that from us. All sorts of parables you can go to where Jesus talks about the need to count the cost of following him, the need to think it through before you decide to follow him. Does it cost much? Well, you see, as soon as you start to use the word sacrifice, you get the sense that it might cost rather a lot. You know, if you go back to the animal sacrifices that were offered in the temple, it costs them rather a lot. And you see, we could start thinking about the cost of following Jesus. We could start thinking about that cost maybe in terms of the time that we give. Maybe in terms of the way in which it needs to change and shape all the priorities in your life. In a way, actually, what Paul's writing it here is making it even simpler. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And that's just got to mean putting your whole life at Christ's disposal, at God's disposal, living for him with everything you got. And you can work that out in all sorts of ways. Obviously, I'll tell you one thing, it makes a lot of difference to a church if people in it are living like that, living for God with every part of their lives. You see, as soon as Paul starts talking about living sacrifices, that's almost a contradiction in terms, isn't it? It would be unless it was applying to us. When you've got living sacrifices, there's something different. You know what? Living sacrifices have got a bit of choice in it. They've got some choice in the matter. To put it bluntly, the animal sacrifices in the temple didn't have any choice in it. We've got that choice as to whether we give everything in what we do for God. You see, sacrifice, when you talk about sacrifice, what it does, it cuts right across the basic principles that we often live by. Because the principle that so many people live by is simply, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Now, that is exactly what you're not saying as soon as you talk about sacrifice and living sacrificially. So why should we choose willingly to give ourselves as living sacrifices to God? Well, actually, you've sung it. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. How deeply did you think about that when you sang it this morning? This is the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And that is why it's right for us to be living sacrifices for God. And you see, it's not the easiest thing to listen to from God's word, is it? Not the easiest thing by a long way. The message all around us is that living for ourselves is perfectly okay. And the more that is the message that we hear all around us, the harder for us it gets to focus on what it means to be living sacrificially. Sacrifice is a word that cuts right across what we would naturally be doing for ourselves. That's what makes it a sacrifice. But in the end, you look at the greatness of the love that Jesus showed when he sacrificed himself for us. feel that love for you, then you have to give back a life of love and sacrifice to Him. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might just possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the ultimate sacrifice. And it was for each one of us. And that is what we're going to remember.